Howdy, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul, the Redneck Thinker. I was thinking about something today, and let's talk about goals. I talk about goals at the beginning because this is the best time to do it. I want you to be able to sit there and have what's best for you in your life. But let me ask you a question. Are you thinking about what's best for your children? Are you thinking about what's best for the next generation? Those are the goals that you should be setting for yourself. Those are the goals that I am talking about. Now, not everybody's in a good spot in life. You can get in a better spot. It takes work. It takes finding the right moments to do what will help you do better in life. But so many times we step in our own way. And the conservative movement right now has its challenges. A lot of people are fed up with what they're dealing with. A lot of people are fed up with what they see as the problems. So, what in the world can we do? Well, we can work towards making it better. We can work to make sure that those things that are better for us is what is happening. Now, all you do when you step out into the world is find things that you probably don't like. Or at least that seems to be what I'm reading from people's comments to my articles, people's conversations. They sit there and they act like the only way to bring about change is to do so in a way that is going to either require violence, which I don't like, or they're going to sit there and be apathetic. Oh, this is the way things are and we have to accept it. Now, am I saying that there aren't going to be instances where we could be attacked violently? It happens, not to everybody, but it happens. So much more is going on in this world that can be changed with us doing those things that would make the world better. Where do you shop? I brought this up before. Where do you shop? What businesses are around you? Could you work on a situation in which you create a company that has conservative values, that has community values, that you can use to give yourself a bigger voice? Think about that for a second. Now, there are plenty of college-educated people that sit there and they only do what they were taught in college when it comes to business. Those same folks got us into a world of hurt. There are those folks that use what they learned to basically scam us out of our money and scam us on the political side. They use government as a way to keep people down. And some of those folks, I hate to tell you this, some of those folks are considered conservatives. They get in the office, you have folks that get in the office that talk a good talk, but they don't do anything. They don't actually fight. When it comes for them to do the right vote, they don't do it. Now, are there instances in which you have to compromise a little bit in Congress? Yes. You have to vote for something that you may not necessarily agree with. I'm not saying that you abhor it, but you may not agree with because the person that proposed it isn't doing something necessarily for themselves, but they're doing it for their district. And so you vote in a way that helps them because later on, when you need some help, they owe you and they'll probably vote for you. And that's called building an ally, creating an ally. Building bridges and creating situations that can help you do what your goals are. That's in politics. In business, modern business, we have a whole bunch of companies out there that their goal is to, what's the best way to put it? It's to, they're based off of greed is good. Even the employees out there are under the impression that greed is good. There are some businesses, though, that are created with the thought process of what people like Adam Smith saw as the right way to do business. I don't trust pharmaceutical companies. After reading the things that I read in Dr. John Abramson's book, I don't trust pharmaceutical companies. Is there a way to fix that? Yeah. Unfortunately, when it comes to the pharmaceutical companies, we're going to have to make some changes, some of which is on the governmental level, but a lot of it is on the consumer level. You would be surprised at the changes that you can wreak as a consumer. And sometimes that consumer level needs to come from folks in business. Who are you willing to do business with as a business person? Now, farmers markets are a good idea. But how about having a local grocery store that deals primarily in the produce of local farmers? Think about that for a second. Think about that. Go to the farmers and say, hey, instead of just having a farm, there's no farmers market in the area. These people want groceries. So let's create an environment that they would consider would be a good choice. Or how about we create computer game companies, software companies that are based on conservative ideas, entertainment companies. There is a company out there that is creating good movies that has, there's actually a few of them that create good content. Are you paying attention to those companies? You and your choices for what you do, what you watch, what you do on the computer, what you do in your daily life is up to you. And that requires that you do better for yourself. And doing better for yourself requires education. Not necessarily from these colleges, but from studying what you have to do. Now, I've been reading, I just got done reading Cheryl Atkinson's Slanted. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like what modern media has become. I like the book Slanted. I like Cheryl Atkinson. I like what she wrote. I don't like the modern media. We're being pushed, as she pointed out in the book, you watch modern news and they talk about two or three topics in panels. They tell you what to think, not what the facts are. Now, I've already decided if I can get Redneck Thinker Brand going, I'm going to create a news organization that is about the news. Now, there are organizations that cover the news, but very few of them are out there creating, that are out there doing investigative journalism. Now, let me digress a little bit here. How many of you know what freedom of the press actually meant when it was codified into the Bill of Rights? How many of you actually know what freedom of the press meant? If you just think that it was based off of journalism, off of newspapers and news programs, well, modern day thinking news programs, it wasn't just about that. It was also created to protect those people that created pamphlets back in the day. They didn't want to create books for people to read. They wanted to create short essays or whatnot that were printed up on a printing press. Late 1700s, early 1800s, a printing press could do a lot of good. You had pamphlets such as Common Sense. That is considered one of the three things that helped bring about our revolution. Well, okay, helped spur on our revolution. Now, that was not something that the government of Great Britain wanted to have go out. Then again, you also had Patrick Henry, "Give me liberty or give me death" speech. I am pretty certain that when it was said, that those people did not have any other recording material than somebody writing it down and then taking it to a printing press and having it put in newspapers and pamphlets. Well, nowadays we have a modern press. We have podcasts, we have videos, we have people that are talking about the unpopular topics. Now, President Obama and his people started the idea that we needed to curate information, that we needed people that were directing the information. We've had it before in this country. The second president, John Adams, with the Alien and Sedition Acts, made it so that members of the press were arrested. It happened during the Civil War, in which journalists who were espousing an idea that was not government sanctioned were arrested. Then you had, during World War I, more things like that. Woodrow Wilson was a pox on this nation. And yet the Democrats still love his greatest achievement. The achievement that has stood the test of time, especially for them, which is a government bureaucracy that runs amok. Seriously, the modern day bureaucracy is because of one of the most racist presidents that this country has ever had. Not only was he racist, he attacked the press. He attacked other political parties. Now, I would never have agreed with Eugene Debs. Seriously, I would not have agreed with Eugene V. Debs. But, and he was a socialist. But him being arrested was one of the biggest jokes that could have occurred. He had a little bit of power, and he pushed for unions and whatnot. I don't like him. I doubt that I would have seen eye to eye with him, but he didn't deserve to be arrested for what he was arrested for, which was he was speaking out against the government. This nation was founded on the free flowing of ideas. This nation was also founded on the fact that we needed to be self-determining in our economic issues, aka taxes. Well, okay, people talk about taxes, but that wasn't the worst of it. Those taxes were actually meant to be part of a program in which we were only allowed to have products that were coming from Great Britain. We were only allowed to do business with Great Britain. We weren't allowed to deal with the French, the Dutch, or any of the others. Seriously, look it up. That was actually crippling the farmers and business people of the time. Even paper, which at one point had to have the Stamp Act. The Stamp Act was created so that you only used official paper. Seriously, you had, if you were using playing cards, it had to have a stamp on it. If you were having a piece of paper in which you were sending mail, it had to have a stamp on it. Official documents had to have a stamp on it. Sugar could only come from approved English sources. One of the things that Washington figured out to make his life better and to make life better for those around him, instead of just farming tobacco, he decided he was going to create whole industries on his plantation. Yes, he was a slave owner. No, I do not believe it was right, and even he understood that there were problems with that system. But he created industries. He made his plantations work not by doing what everybody else did, but creating new opportunities. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're at a point in which our health is dictated to us by the government. We are at a point in which we have one political party that has the majority of the news capability in this country. We are in a country that dictates so many other aspects of our lives. We can sit here and complain about it, Or we could develop a backbone and create new opportunities. Now, business-wise only, I am only discussing this in the terms of business, not in terms of his political leanings. Okay? I want this clear. When Microsoft was founded, there were barely any other companies that did what Bill Gates did. He revolutionized an industry in its infancy. He did something that was kind of amazing, business-wise. He took a product that had been developed by Xerox that was sitting there not knowing what to do with a product that they owned the rights to that was developed on their dime. He took that product and turned it into an international sensation. Disk operating system. What we term, or what most people call, what everybody calls DOS, disk operating system. He went from having MS-DOS to having Windows. Now, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak created Apple and took a little bit of the market, but not so much as what Bill Gates did. You had Unix, which led to the creation of Linux. You have other choices. My personal favorite that I wish had developed into something more was called Plan 9. That was a joke name based off of Plan 9 from Outer Space. Computer programmers have their inside jokes. That's just like Python developers. The really serious Python developers will actually code in little references to Monty Python. They're serious folks doing serious jobs, but they still find ways to put little bits of humor into it. All of these areas now are exceedingly left-leaning. Heck, they're not even leaning. They've fallen all the way in to the left side of the political spectrum. Okay? That limits us in this country. So what are we going to do about it? Well, I'm telling you what I'm doing about it. I am providing you a different voice. There are others like me that are providing a different voice. I am providing some news. What I would like to do is provide an investigative journalistic news, but that requires resources I don't currently have, so I am doing this to start building up my resources. Part of it requires that I have a name for myself. I want to cover more about why the state of Pennsylvania misspent $551 million of federal tax dollars. I want to cover more of why we've got a Department of Interior that is so inept that they aren't helping tribal schools because, oh, the repairs will cost more than $2,500. Well, until we get the government allowing the Native American tribes in this country to be self-reliant, and because of treaty needs, they're under treaty obligations. These schools are under the domain of the federal government. If you want to see how bad government schools can become, and American schools are getting this way, look at tribal schools. If you want to see how bad federal control over government is, look at what's going on some of these tribal lands. But some of the Native American tribes in this country, Eastern Band Cherokee, the Cherokee period, have shown that you don't have to just allow that to happen. Some, on the other hand, are like, hey, we want our handouts. We deserve it. And every time that it is found that there is something nearby to them that could help the entire country, they sit there and protest and try to stop it because then they can just complain about it. Yes, we have abused the tribes in this country. But if you take a look at the Eastern Band Cherokee, they have risen up from that. What they have in North Carolina for the Eastern Band Cherokee is not a reservation system. They bought their own land and went to the government and said, this is our land. You try to run us off, but we have purchased it. It is our land, and it is recognized as the land of the Eastern Band Cherokee. They don't have a reservation. They have their own land. Other Native American tribes have taken what reservations they have been given, and they've turned it into something better. Well, as a nation, what are we doing to make it better? Now, we need food. We need a lot of food, but we don't need federal subsidies telling us what to grow on farmland. We don't need farmland turned into housing projects. We don't need utility-size power generation for every area of this nation. We don't need to watch the news from people who are misspeaking, misinterpreting, flat-out lying. We don't need any of that. So the ones of us who are conservative need to move our tail ends. We need to make a difference. There are areas in this country that don't want to unionize. The BMW plant in Tennessee near Chattanooga, when they had the opportunity to become unionized, voted no. Because the folks of Tennessee understand that the unions are not working for the best interest of the workers. They're working for the best interest of the Democrat Party and whatever other weird group that they answer to. Now, those of you with the liberal slant, if you are listening to me and you go, oh, he's attacking unions. As an idea, unions are not a bad idea. Worker protections. When they were first started, you had people in charge of business on a larger scale that were not doing right by the workers. That was not an idea at the time. But the idea of unions has been subverted. Take a look at what unions and the Italian mafia have done in this country. That is an actual thing. And when I go to ask, I don't have the reputation yet to get actual answers, except from one guy, and I'm not going to bring up his name. I got to talk to a former mafia member. And I asked him to go on the record. I want to have all of what I write on the record. When I wrote to him, he said he could not talk about it because that was considered industrial racketeering. Because I also asked him if he couldn't talk about it, could he direct me to somebody that could talk about it? He said no, that was considered industrial racketeering. He couldn't discuss it. What little that you can find comes from people like Michael Francis, who, if you listen to some of his videos, and if you don't want to, fine. But Michael Francis talks about him and another member of the mafia working together to try to organize the Atlantic City hotel workers into a union while they were in the mafia. This is not after he left the mafia. This is while he was in the mafia because he saw a way to profit off of the hard work of these workers. Oh, unionize them and they can make more money and we can take the dues. This is what's happening with government employees. This is what's happening to the regular American worker. Now, I am not saying, as much as I love a Ford Bronco, that Ford has really ever been good for the worker or for America. I love Ford vehicles better than I like the other vehicles out there. There are, now I like Mopar, but Ford is still my primary like for a vehicle. There's a problem with that though. As I've gotten older and I've started researching on history, as I've learned history, Adolf Hitler actually had a photograph that was autographed by Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Corporation. Henry Ford hated Jews. He would employ black folks. He would employ almost anybody except for Jews. He didn't want Jews anywhere near his business. He also revolutionized the auto industry, but he did so as somebody who had a hate for Jews and a hate for the modern culture. Now, that changes my thought process about Ford. Do I think that the modern folks, the modern Ford family, or the folks that run Ford Motor Company have those same values? No. But they do have the values that they need to do certain things that may not be in the best interest of America. Now, I am well aware that car manufacturing goes on inside the United States. It's because of tariffs and tax laws. It's a whole thing. So foreign companies manufacture cars here to bypass those penalties. They provide jobs. But how many other of the products that we need every day are not made in the United States anymore? Part of it is because of cheaper labor. And part of the reason why that cheaper labor is so necessary when you could create a so much better environment to have products bought in this country that are made here, because if you've got a manufacturing plant somewhere that is creating, say, clothes or creating lamps or stoves or any of that stuff, these folks are going to be making slightly better than everybody else. They're going to want to spend that money. So that creates the need for car dealerships. It creates the needs for stores, restaurants, and all of that. It creates a better environment. But when you have unions that are demanding continuous raises that are going out of control, I'm not saying that people shouldn't have a chance to get raises. I'm saying that they should not have a chance to get out of control pay raises that are making it so that these companies are having to charge more and more and more to the average consumer. So these companies move to nations that have a bad track record when it comes to human rights. This is what unions created in this for this world. Now, there are good paying jobs in the oil industry. Not so much, I mean, the mining industry, decent paying jobs. But yes, mining companies in this country have been slow to realize that they need to do more than mine, that they need to not destroy the local environment. And that sounds leftist, but it isn't. Take a look at, there's an area in Pennsylvania in which fire started underground in the coal deposits. That fire is still basically smoldering to this day. There are places where you can't live because of this. You take a look at Chernobyl. While that wasn't a mining accident, it was an issue in which people didn't consider safety issues. You can't get anywhere near Chernobyl, which was a concern when the Russian government took that area over. There are even concerns that there is something going on in the very heart of the old Chernobyl nuclear plant. But we can't verify what's going on because that area is controlled by Russia. And the Russian government, under Vladimir Putin, is not a good neighbor. So, what do we need to do in this country to make it better? Well, if you are a conservative, you need to create businesses that are of a conservative slant. You need to show that laissez-faire capitalism, not corporatism, not greed is good business models, that isn't capitalism. You need to pick up a book. If you go to create a business, I highly recommend that you pick up Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. I recommend that you learn how to run a business that is good for everybody. Be part of a community, not greed is good. That is a capitalistic idea. I love how liberals talk about eating the rich, yet they want to create, they take over these businesses and then don't understand why they don't stay open. And if they stay open, they realize that it's because they have to have a profit. Wow. Laissez-faire capitalism actually was, when they codified it, because laissez-faire capitalism existed before it was written down in a book or was discussed in a classroom, in the 1700s. It already existed before that point. It just wasn't written down. It was the way business was done. If you had a business, you created an environment with that business that, yes, needed profits, but was good for not just yourself, but for those around you. We don't do that anymore. Seriously, we don't. What we do now is do greed is good businesses, or we create an environment that doesn't really do us any good, and it doesn't succeed because we're not working to get others better off. It's needing to change. And those of us of a conservative slant are the only ones that can actually make it happen. I am trying to do that right now. I am starting a business that I am wanting to turn into something better. Right now I'm a one-man operation. I am having to learn how to market. I don't understand modern marketing, but I am working to learn it. I did not understand how to set up a podcast. I figured it out. I'm working on making myself something better. And in the process, I am working to create not just something better for myself, but I am working towards making things better for others. I want to create a future that my son can go through life seeing that there are other possibilities than what is shown on TV. As I look around the conservative environment, I take a look at those folks that claim to be conservative that are feeding off of others' problems. Seriously. Candace Parker and Ben Shapiro had a disagreement. For some reason, that became a news topic, not just for liberals. There are conservatives that took sides. They put out podcasts and videos that got thousands upon thousands of views, and they profited off of two people having a disagreement within the conservative party. I am still going to listen to Ben Shapiro. I am still going to listen to Candace Parker because both of them talk about things that I am interested in hearing their point of view on. They're both intelligent individuals, and both of them are willing to work hard. They had disagreements with one another. Okay, people do that. It does not mean that we need to feed on our own. Now, Mike Johnson did something less than a week ago that people went, well, why are you going after him? I went after him, and probably still will, because he voted for something that went against all Americans. It wasn't an internal disagreement that was the problem. It was he voted to allow FISA warrants to still occur. I have a problem with that. That is not the conservative stance. Right to privacy, legal protections, those are conservative values, or they better be. If you don't have conservative values, I have a question for you. Why are you conservative? Why do you claim to be conservative? Because you're not. the values that were created in our Constitution are under attack every day by people of the Republican Party, people of the Democrat Party, and we're not standing up to it when they do these things. That is why I have a problem with Mike Johnson. He was conservative when, to get to where he was, he did many conservative things. But when he could have made a massive difference, instead, he went for big government. So yes, I am going to stand up against him because I don't agree with what he did. I believe it impacted everybody. It is not an internal issue. It is an issue that affects everybody. And if you don't like that comment, then don't listen to me. I am wanting to develop an audience that realizes that our personal freedoms need to be stood up for. And to have those personal freedoms, we need to create an environment in this country that allows for it. That means we need to have a say in business. We need to have a say in what is going on. So we need to have people that are not talking about, oh, you need to do these violent acts. I'm not even going to repeat some of the comments that I've heard. I've read from my articles. Because they are so damn stupid. Yes, I just cussed. Not safe for work. Oh well. Talking violently does not help anybody. Talking in a racist way does not help anybody. If you truly want to help the people that are trying to do good, then you need to quit trying to be a keyboard warrior and start working to be someone that can be looked up to. You need to examine what values you have. You need to examine what is good for everybody in this country. And freedom is what is good for everybody in this country, not some political agenda. If your political agenda is not about freedom, I won't stand with you. If your political agenda actually hurts freedom, I am not going to stand with you. Now, if you're listening to me and want freedom and want to know how to get there, I will help you get there. I will listen to your solutions to things. Now, sometimes I won't agree with your solutions, and I am going to voice my opinion about your solutions, but I am going to air your solutions. I am not the end-all, be-all. I am one voice, and I am wanting to give my voice to helping you. And I'm going to say what historically has happened with certain aspects. But it doesn't mean that I won't listen to you. But if your solution is racist, no, I'm not going to air it. If your solution is violent, I am not going to air it. But I will listen, I will read, listen, or whatever is your solution that you offer me. And if it is even somewhat viable, if it even has ideas within it that need to be considered, I will air it. I've done that twice. Same person gave me solutions, but I have aired them, and I have aired why I had a problem with them. One of the solutions was pretty good. There was one minor objection that I had. The other one I had an objection because we've already kind of gone that route in this country, and overall, it was a good solution, but it also needed to have the thought process of, hey, yeah, we did do something stupid in this country, and it needed to be remembered. I am going to do that. I am going to work towards, hey, you folks need to read up on certain things to make yourself better. You need to get out there and create businesses. You need to run for office, and you need to do it in an intelligent manner. You need to have a backbone. You need to quit sitting on the computer being apathetic or making comments that, quite frankly, disturb me, should disturb you even after you make them. You should go, why did I just write that? Because those comments that are violent or racist come across as nothing less than unintelligent, and they are dangerous. Racism has no place in civil discourse. You may believe civil discourse is dead, but it isn't. And you need to develop a backbone to do what is right in this country. If you're not wanting to do what is right in this country, then listening to me is just a waste of time. I hate to tell you this, but listening to me is a waste of time because I am going to keep trying to push you to getting off your rear end and actually doing something. And I'm going to keep working towards that. I am going to push you to be better. Now, I'm going to let you go. Before I do that, I'm going to do a little shilling. I'm Redneck Thinker on MeWe, YouTube, Podbeans, Rumble, Twitter. I think that's all. Honestly, I don't know. Yeah, that should be all right now. Oh, Reddit. I don't know if I brought up Reddit. I go by my real name, which is Paul Shannon. On Facebook, I have the Ramblings of Paul Shannon on Facebook. On MeWe, I have the Writings of a Redneck Thinker. LinkedIn, I go by my real name, Paul Shannon. I have a book that I wrote using visual novel software. I am considering doing that again once I get everything going good, once I have a set routine and I have other aspects of my life going better. I have. It is the Founding Fathers, Founding Freedoms Primer. Sorry. It is on itch.io. It uses visual novel software because I am considering certain aspects, but I'm also considering turning that into a real book. I'm in the process of finding a publisher. And that was off of another company that I am looking to create, Freedom Visual Novel. Freedom VN is the name of it. I have also got a Patreon, Freedom VN, Freedom Visual Novel, patreon.com/freedomvn. So if you want to help me, or if you just want to get educated, the visual novel right now, until I turn it into a book, is free. It is a compilation of the writings and speeches of our founding fathers, William Blackstone, who was a great thinker, and second generation of the politicians of this country on what the Bill of Rights meant. So If that interests you, you can go to itch.io, look it up, and it's for free. It asks for a donation, but you don't have to get it. You don't have to give it. You can get the book for free. So, this is Paul, the Redneck Thinker, and I'm done. Have a good day.